This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Stop playing with the lights, okay? Right when we're coming on, for the first time ever, Dell turns the lights up in here, in our room. Lights, camera, action.
They were on yesterday.
Yeah, they were on yesterday, but not right when the music started.
Well, I gradually turned them on yesterday just not to shock you two snowflakes. And today, I was like, I forgot, so I had to jack it up in a hurry.
It was very movie-like. Very movie-like in here. Are we still doing the stream, the video?
Yeah, it's on right now.
I think McCool watches this that way.
He does?
Yeah, he said he was watching on Twitch the other day. He said he wanted to make sure you got a Blue Water Grill hat.
Yeah, where's my Blue Water Grill hat, McCool? Nice.
I think I have
nothing. I get nothing
before.
From you.
No, I think I've actually brought some in before.
No, I got nothing.
You only like certain kind of hats. You're a little bit of a hat elitist.
No. I'm wearing more. I'm starting to wear some more flat brim. Yeah. I'm part of the community.
Which one? I can't lose track.
The Ricky Fowler
Oklahoma
community?
State?
Which one are you talking about?
LSU? Cougars?
The flat brim hat community.
Okay.
But yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Dell, I was wearing one yesterday, as a matter of fact. My boy Chad's from CEP. Mm-hmm. He's got flat brim.
Yeah, and he gave you one? And where'd you wear it?
Playing golf.
Oh, that's surprising.
How did you get to stay on the course?
What do you mean?
When the starter comes back around to check receipts. Got your receipt? Yeah, I still got it.
Yeah, I got my receipt. I have my receipt. Don't worry.
I thought they treated you like officials in hockey treated like the curve of a stick. They had to check your hat. Oh, there's not enough curve. You gotta leave. Yeah.
Let's measure that pine tar on the bat. too high.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of big news yesterday. Starting with 25%. Outdoor stadiums in Texas, the first state to say, yep, you can play.
Hey, Rick Abbott ain't playing around. Governor Abbott ain't playing around. What's his first name?
Greg.
Greg Abbott? I called him Rick. Greg Abbott ain't playing around. Now, the obvious question I think was asked, does that mean the Texans are going to open up the roof?
I don't know that they can. Although, wasn't it open for, what's her name, lady? What is it?
Had this tiny little bottle cap size opening. Like, just jump in there, Lady Gaga. Are we going to open the whole thing? Just don't ask. Don't ask. We won't tell.
I thought it was open.
No.
I thought they filmed it and opened the whole thing. And then it was the whole thing was filmed.
She's standing on top of the roof. And then she like jumps back in. She jumps into a small opening of the roof. It was not open very far.
It wasn't.
No.
Well, as long as you open that little opener.
I mean,
is that an outdoor stadium now?
Can it open?
Huh?
Can it open?
Is it ever really an outdoor stadium with that little tiny hole that they put in there that you can't grow grass in there?
Well, it can open for real, even though it's not really made for the sun to hit all areas. But when is the last time? I don't go to the rodeo, and we didn't have it this year, really, so I don't. Can it open?
I've been there before. Opened.
Since the hurricane?
Well, no, not since the hurricane. I haven't. No one's seen it.
Or since one of the floods? I think there was a concern about during one of the floods.
I think Harvey was the big concern.
Harvey, but not the Tax Day flood or the one where the Rockets played the Golden State Warriors and I got stuck on Highway 59 until 3:30 in the morning?
No, not that one.
Not that flood?
Wasn't it Tax Day? What was that?
There's two different ones. You would get our floods mixed up.
Here's an interesting question.
Memorial Day?
There was what's called a tax day flood. There was another one when the Rockets were playing Golden State.
Yeah. Toyota my wife got stuck on there too.
Yeah, and I got stuck. I saw it on my radar. I'm like, holy crap. I knew how hard it was raining. I said, we got to get to the car now. It didn't matter. Everything, by the time we got on 59 and we couldn't even get down the Westheimer, the Fountain View exit. We were like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And we waited until 3:30 or 4. I ended up tweeting stuff, and before you know it, Weather Channel's getting a hold of me on Twitter. We want to bring you live on air. Talk about it. Oh, okay. Lance, what is happening right now? I'm like, well, you know, there's just trimmed. All of the exits are flooded. It looks like there's serious flooding down there. Okay, well, we're going to stay with it. We'll reach back out to you and your family, and your family's all in the car with you. Yes, my children are in the back seat right now, and this is at like, I don't know, this is probably at about 10 o'clock at night. Then they say, Lance, can we call you back 11 to check on what's going on? Yeah, still stuck here. They're all excited. Like, he's still stuck. Can you describe where the waters are right now? Is it closing? Is it getting close? I'm like, well, I'm on the overpass, so it's a pretty big drop down to actual, you know, the feeder where Fountain View is really flooded. And by this time, I think I'd make
it. I can jump down there, though, if you need it.
Hillcroft, she goes, okay, is it kind of moving up the ramp, though, the exit ramp, the water? I said, yeah, I mean, I guess it is. She goes, okay, we're going to check back. And the producer goes, hey, Lance, how close is that water getting to you? I said, oh, luckily, we're okay.
Hello?
The kids are,
hello?
The kids are asleep. I said, I'm watching. I said, I'm actually... Mm-mm. The kids are asleep, and my wife and I are actually watching like Game of Thrones right now. So it's we're catching up on some episodes. So it's actually
not so bad.
She goes, okay. Well, where's the water? I said, uh-huh. Well, and I think it was a new producer. So I'm still like, I don't know if the last producer told you, but I'm on the 59 overpass. So I'm really probably 12 feet off the ground. It's going to take arc like flooding to get to me. Okay, so you're fine then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm stuck on 59.
Yeah,
there is no end in sights getting to the exits, and we're
no
having
death. Then we're gonna go. We won't need you anymore.
We're having a flood that's gonna wipe out parts of the city.
Yeah.
She goes, okay, but the water's like, and she goes, but is the water getting close? Like, is there any chance you could get pulled into the water? I said, no, not at all. She goes, okay, well, all right, thanks.
Bye.
Do you want me to do any more reports? No. We're we'll check back in with you, I think. Bye.
It ain't unique to national broadcasts. I was on vacation in Hawaii. I get a call from John. It was a hurricane approaching Hawaii. I get a call from John. Hey, how's it going? First, he got the customer. How you doing? Then I got, hey, how's it looking out there? I was like, well, I mean, there are multiple islands here, and we're on the island where it's just sprinkling. I was like, hello? Yeah.
I didn't need you anymore.
I mean, I'm sure
Wendy wanted him on Channel 13. Hey, if he was going
to
die.
Yeah, he was like, hey, you might have to do like a live report. I was like, well, it's really just
you should have seen how excited when I was like, yeah, Dell's in Hawaii right now. He is. Get him on the phone.
I was like, well, I mean, I'm on Honolulu. I'm in Honolulu. And on, not really.
She already had the graphic. Much. Houstonian in dire need. He is about to die in the Hawaiian volcano.
John calls me, and I look out the window. It's kind of just sprinkling on this island. Like, okay.
Oh, damn it.
I'll see you when you get back.
Beat it. We don't need you anymore.
We'll just make jokes about you dying on the air. But as far as you actually doing anything substantial.
You didn't do anything.
Nah, forget about it.
So, well, that leads us back to. How about now? This is what I've thought about baseball. Hey, dummies, there's a chance that there are going to be people in the stands, so we can stop. So players are not going to agree to. All right, well, we're going to take 20%. I know we're playing half the games, but Mike Trout would have to take 20%, and Justin Verlander would have to take 20% of their contracts. Well, because there's not going to be any fans there. Well, what if there are fans there? Nobody's thought about that. What if there are fans? Mm-hmm. Now those players are supposed to have agreed to play for 20% when there are going to be fans in the stands.
But they're not playing. But what about the baseball related income?
Well, but fans in the stands. See, the reason that the owners are mad and the owners are worried is because there won't be any fans in the stands, so they're going to make a lot less money. But what if there are fans?
I got a great idea. Let's do it related to baseball related income.
Yeah. Well,
do the players want that?
Players don't want it.
Okay, then. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you then.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, because it's a fluid situation. So the players don't want baseball related income either. So
well, right. But the owners are screaming Armageddon and we're going to get killed. But wait a minute. There might be fans in the stands.
Well, okay. So let's put a safety net in there. The only best way safety net, frankly, whether you like it or not, is going to be a baseball related income. If you want to do it in May and talk about it in May, then you have to have a catch-all based on an extremely fluid situation.
Here's
our projected death tolls change on a regular basis. You're probably not going to get coronavirus from touching. But we were told we were. Yeah, we didn't have enough information.
Yeah.
That's the same way right now with sports. We may have people in the stands. What if we don't? What if we do?
the only way to capture that is to say, look, whatever the money is that comes in, we get this percentage.
Except here's the deal, Lance, is that baseball is the only sport that has never related. And here's, but there's two reasons for it. Players don't want that. It's more or less a salary cap on what they can make. And second, which they fought for years and struck and struck and struck and struck and struck. Secondly, the owners have never opened their books to them to tell them how much money that they're making. And so and so the players are like, we don't trust you, we don't believe you, and there's no reason that they're going
to
start now.
Well, I would use this as an opportunity to, we'll do this, but you have to open your books.
But they won't. But the owners won't. So well, then it's so over. So the owners want that, but they won't open their books. They never have and never will.
Well, then this is the leverage you use, because you say, because look, it's not normal times. This doesn't mean you're under a salary cap. This is a pandemic. This is a strange time. We also don't have stay-at-home orders and orders for masks and quarantines and all that. That's also not a normal occurrence. We are in an abnormal occurrence. Asking to have the only way to know, the only way to get a fair, equitable stake is to do...
Well, neither side will do it, though. Neither side will do it.
Well, then there is a chance baseball doesn't go this year.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that they will. And oh, by the way, oh my goodness, wait a minute. Texas is opening up to 25%. And we are how far away from, you know, we're a month away from the games. What's going to – we have no – look at – just like you said, look at the progress that we've made in 1 month. Last month, we couldn't touch anything. And then, oh, my God, you have to wash your hands 40 times a day and don't ever touch your face and all of this stuff. Now, well, touching really doesn't matter. You have to be coughed on or whatever. Like, you just cleared your throat into your hand, and that really worries me.
You can clear throats.
All right, how far are you from me?
You can clear throats.
Because you're not far enough away.
About 5.5 feet.
I know, 5.5 is not far enough away. When you're hacking into your...
I had something in my throat yesterday, and... Oh, no, it was the day before, and I had one cough. I swear. One cough. I could feel it in my throat, and I was around, and I was kind of looking to see if there would be a... I'm sure they were thinking, we can't just move away.
Well, how far were you from people?
But,
why weren't you far from people?
Because people were closing in.
Who was closing in on you?
People.
You know what?
Did
you see the guy? Anybody who gets close to me, guess what? I can now legally kill you if you get close to me.
Where did this come from?
Yeah. No. Which football player was it? Not Darnold Dockett. It was some guy. Some football player says.
Player said, "I can legally kill
you." No. Listen, you are threatening my life, and I can take you out.
I am going to look into Canada. I just feel like Canada, can we lift those travel restrictions?
You want to live in Canada?
Canada doesn't want us up there.
I know they don't. I'm going to go in like, hey, what took me so long to get back up here? Wow, I can't believe me and my kids took so long to come back up here. Immediately.
They don't sound like they're from Wisconsin.
What part of Canada are you from?
Hey, dear.
Hey, dear.
I'm from Southeast Canada.
Hey,
dear. Go Blue Jays.
I'm just going to try to learn as much as I can about every Canadian hockey team.
Just keep saying Connor McDavid over and over again.
Who?
McDavid.
Who is that?
He's a hockey player.
He's a hockey player.
Okay. Yeah, pretty good. Thanks. Give me some more names during the break.
713 ESPN.
Man, I can't believe George St. Pierre hasn't come back for a fight. What? It's unbelievable. So where are we? So what's the deal with our money here? How are we transferring our money over? Because I got this crappy, dirty U.S. money that gave everybody coronavirus from the strippers. How do I get it back in a good, clean Canadian money like we're used to having?
Now you're drifting into Irish.
Scottish.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm from the Manitoba area.
What? They're not Scottish.
Why are we doing this? I don't even know. Yeah, I know. The Americans are stupid. I'm glad to be back up here. Right next to the good people of George St. Pierre.
George St. Pierre?
Yeah. I must say whatever I have to get up there.
You're not.
I can't believe everyone down there is killing each other because they get inside of 6 feet. I know. That's why I moved. Me and my family moved back here.
This isn't Canadian.
With something close to it. It's parts of Canada.
Irish, Scottish.
Yeah. It's a farm community where I'm from.
Where they really speak
Scottish?
We have our different accents.
You need to drive your Gulf Coast Chevy up there.
So I'm going to head back down to Angleton today. That means I'll probably head over by Killen's Barbecue also. And he's in Pearland. Gulf Coast Chevrolet is in Angleton. And I've got my car in the body shop there. I got hit by a driver. I knew there was one place I was taking the car. It was going to be the the body shop at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. They got the work all finished, and I'm getting down there. Ned, across the street. Now, that's one thing they do. Standard service, like rotating tires and air filters and, you know, the whole nine yards, they'll do that for you also. Whether you're American or Canadian, it really doesn't matter to them. And my neighbor across the street, Ned. Ned's like, he's looking for a pre-owned vehicle. He has something very specific in mind, and that happens to be the Chevy Traverse. And he said, hey, can I drive yours around and see how it handles? Absolutely. I get it back today, so Ned's going to give it a drive, and I think he's going to absolutely love it. Because if you've driven an SUV before and you're looking to lower some of your costs down to a crossover vehicle, I'm going to tell you the Chevy Traverse is right there with vehicles that you're looking for. So whether you want new cars or pre-owned vehicles, whatever type of deal you're looking for, they're going to have it at LanceZCars.com. That's the website for Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. It's LanceZCars.com, located in Angleton. They'll deliver it right to your doorstep. Safety is first, service is first, price is first at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
719 ESPN 97.5, 7378037776 if you want to get in here. Reese wants to get in, wants to talk some baseball. So we get shortest wait times in the world. What's up, Reese?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, you guys are talking baseball. I was wondering how much more of a PR hit baseball could take. I know some people, I'm just a fan of the game, but, you know, for like regular fans, baseball is a sport that you know, people don't go to sports bars too often to watch on a weekly basis, like a Monday night football game or a Thursday night TNT basketball game. And I think the game, you know, just can't take another PR hit. And I'm just wondering if these guys are even thinking about that, because they are struggling to get fans in the stadium. They don't have stars that are marketed like LeBron and Steph Curry and, you know Patrick Mahomes. They don't have that. Even their biggest star, the MVP, Trout, he don't even want to be marketed. So I think both sides need to get together. If not, I think they're going to be in some trouble, big time.
Yeah. Agreed. No, you know what? All they care about is the money. They just fighting over the money. It's a horrible look. No one cares. Baseball, you know what? If baseball doesn't come back, if basketball comes back with this playoff scenario that they're talking about, football's around the corner, you know what everybody will be doing? Whatever, baseball. Whatever. Nice job, baseball. Idiots.
Baseball's they're going to be their own worst enemy if they don't find a way to do this. And I'm not playing a game of millionaires versus billionaires.
No.
Listen, these guys are in different tax brackets than all of us. So I'm not doing, well, not all of them, actually. I mean, the low-end guys who are making a certain amount and then get taxed heavier and then get, I mean, they get their money chopped up strong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a, I don't know that that's a majority.
No, it's the majority. Yeah, the majority make a million or less.
Not league minimum. A majority aren't making league minimum.
A million or less, the majority.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's way more than any of us are making.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most of us listening, I guess. So I'm not getting into the class war of baseball with people who are doing way better than most of the people in this, in society. That's not my, they'll figure that out. For the good of their sport and people who want to have something to watch, something to add some normalcy to their lives, for their own good of getting paychecks rolling through again, which is going to be a need for a lot of the players. For the people who are going to be working, who still can work, even though, you know, whether they're going to be people in the stands or not. I mean, they got to figure something out. And I'm not telling them how to do it. You and I talked about the difficulties of this. It's a fluid situation, so we don't know how many people can be allowed in the stands, if there will be. Certainly there won't be any to begin with, I don't think, in baseball, but they will move into a scenario where they could, especially if numbers really decrease and the numbers. We're having a pretty decent spike here in Texas right now, but, you know, realistically, I think that's also going to kind of clear the way as it diminishes, as the number goes down, there will be people feeling better about it. In other states, there, you know, it has been lower and they already feel better about it. I don't know what the answer is, honestly. I don't know if putting people in the stands is the answer, if 25% is the answer, maybe 30%, maybe even as much as 50%. I don't know, because the problem is we just don't know enough yet. So for the owners, but unfortunately the owners and players have to figure something out now. They got to start figuring something out now, because they're talking about a three-week spring training, basically, a three-week additional spring training. So if you don't do a share of revenue, in theory, just in theory, allows for a shared burden or a shared growth, you know, during the pandemic. Like, oh, well, you know what? We weren't expecting fans, but we get them now. The only way that happens is if the owners open their books and allow basically a forensic department to go through and do that. I know that they have historically never, although they claim they do it all the time. But Drake McLean crying that he was losing money all the time was the biggest joke in the world. So I don't trust it the same way the players don't trust it. However, the players can't cry about, you know, percentages of revenue, a set revenue number, when, you know, we don't know how many fans are going to be able to get in there. I don't know how it gets fixed.
Yeah, and neither side wants to do it, though. Neither side. So they're just, and you know what? This could be the perfect opportunity for them to have not only wonderful will, but for people to be actually interested in the game again, because it would be something that would be on as opposed to anything. Listen, if it's on versus the NBA, then you know what? They've got a battle on their hands, and it'll be good. Once football starts, it's over for basketball and for baseball, like it is every year, because people are especially starving for football right now. They've got a chance to do something really good for their sport and open up and do it in a way that everybody can say, wow, baseball, cool. And instead, they're doing the exact opposite. You know what? Baseball, screw yourself. You know, if you want to have all this arguing about money and everything else, everybody's just going to go, whatever, baseball, just go away. You know what? We're going to have basketball and we'll have football soon. We really don't need you. And I love baseball. I love baseball. And Dell loves baseball.
How about the CBA, Canadian Baseball Association? We're going to be playing too.
Yeah.
If they don't want to play in this country, and you guys are going to be shooting each other inside of 6 feet legally, we got Canadian baseball, sex dolls and everything.
What do you think of this conference-less playoff bracket for the NBA?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love anything that's different now.
Well, and Daryl says the Rockets have a better chance.
Well, he said they would have a huge advantage.
Except
they would play the Jazz? So
they play the Jazz in the first round and the Lakers in the second round.
Apparently it was in response to all the Golden State stuff and how Golden State was in their way for winning a title. Well, you would have faced Golden State in the finals and lost then. So what are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. Why is this? You're playing the Lakers either way early on.
I don't know what he's saying.
I mean, they're the sixth seed in the West, right?
Yeah.
And they're the 10th seed in the playoff bracket with 16 teams.
So instead of playing the Clippers potentially in the second round, if they upset their first round opponent in a normal bracket, they'd be playing the Lakers if they got through the
Then it's the Pacers, Nuggets, Grizz, and Raptors. I guess that would be easier.
Yeah, but you'd have to get through the best team in your
conference
anyway.
Right, you got to get through the Lakers either way.
Yeah.
Either way, you got to get through the Lakers.
I think it was more about how Golden State was always in their way. But you would still, like I said, you would still face them in the finals.
Well, and I think it might be about, we've got the East teams are going to be easier than the West teams getting through.
I would say, Daryl, you're not as good as those other iterations of your team, so maybe it won't be as easy as you think this time around. You're not the same team of 2 years ago and last year.
So what would be okay? So it's the Bucks and Magic in the first. Okay, Heat and Thunder, that bracket. Bucks, Magic, Heat, Thunder. If you're going to rank them, it's Bucks and Heat, right? As far as the best two teams.
Yeah.
Clippers, Mavs, Celtics, Sixers. That's a nice little bracket. Celtics, Sixers would be a nice matchup. Clippers, Mavs. That'd be fun, too, with Doncic. Lakers, Nets, and Jazz and Rockets.
See, I think that, and
and what you're bringing up is I love the group stage idea. I just don't know how feasible it is because the numbers don't really support it. You're going to have to give buys to certain teams. And
well, we're not
just,
doing – that's not group stage. No.
That's what I'm saying. I like the group stage idea better, to be honest with you. But it's just not as feasible as this is. This is better. I think you erase the lines of conference, and I think there is a chance that that could be the new norm moving
maybe
forward. Now, we may be at 16 teams moving forward. How much is it in this one?
16.
Oh, it is still 16. Mm. Oh, I thought they were looking at more. No. Okay.
Raptors, Grizz, and Nuggets, Pacers would be the easiest.
So would you play Eastern, Western? I wonder how it would look in the future because I do think this is potentially something we should look at because it allows for the seedings of the best teams.
But it's an unbalanced schedule. So, if you're just going to go by record.
It doesn't have to be. But then what are you playing for? You're only playing – then you're basically the Premier League where you just have, okay, these are the teams that qualify. Here's the line and there are no conference. Would you care?
No. Do you even know all the teams in their division?
Oh, not anymore.
No.
I don't pay attention. No one cares.
Are the Jazz in their division?
I care about the playoff line.
Is New Orleans still in their division?
Now, it is for a travel standpoint. The reason they do that, I take it back. The reason is for travel.
Yeah.
And theoretically, for some teams, it matters a lot. Like for the Astros, it's a disaster for the Astros travel-wise because they have to travel a lot. In basketball, it's a little better regionally. Certainly, there's not a...
Well, the Astros are screwed. Houston is screwed no matter what conference.
They got screwed because Jim Crane was going to be owner and baseball said, here's our chance to bully you and change you.
Instead of Bud Selig, who was the commissioner, moving his team back into the American League where they were before. Sure. A-hole C-League.
But I do think that you look at the way basketball is set up right now, I don't see any reason that it shouldn't be the Premier League. Do you think that would work? To me, Dell, the Premier League, what they do. Now, theirs is more about, okay, top four and
but they don't have
top
playoffs.
Six. No, they don't have playoffs, but there's top four. But you are playing for something. You're playing for Champions League, but that's only the top four. And then what is it, Euro League and the top six?
A Europa League. But you remember in the Premier League, they're not. It's not just that league. Then they play tournaments throughout the year, which is what NBA would like to do.
Yeah.
They have their FA Cup. They have all these other smaller tournaments. So they play a lot of games. Their rosters are larger for those particular reasons.
I'm telling you, it wouldn't surprise me if they did something where they blurred the lines of conference and they just said, okay, you just have to hit the top 16. This is the table, and then they're going to start calling it, you're a mid-table team, Rockets, and then we're going to start saying tables. Instead of standings, we'll say tables.
No, we're not saying tables. You want to move to Canada and Europe now?
No, I think that we're going to use the model. You've already heard Adam Silver. We need to get We need to get a cup going in the middle of the year. That's straight soccer.
Who are the top four in basketball? The top four in Premier League is consistent.
Toronto's got a good team. I've been a Toronto fan for a long time,
but they're in basketball.
Love them,
but basketball it's more. I
can't believe they stole the Grizzlies from us.
It's more volatile. Like some years, the Rockets were in the top four.
They were Vancouver.
2 years ago, okay. Yeah. They didn't steal the Grizzlies from you.
7:30 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Come hang with us.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, 7:33 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you think, if you have any thoughts on any of this, you're more than welcome to get in. A lot of stuff going on. Greg Abbott says 25% in outdoor stadiums. So you open up the roof at Minute Maid. I mean, a big advantage now for Texas teams over any other state. If the other states aren't going to. But listen, we're at least a month away. At least a month away from any major sport. You got to get it. Baseball players got to get in shape. NBA players got to get in shape. They're going to have some kind of a training camp throughout June. If the earliest that anything is going to happen is the beginning of July. By then, I'm pretty sure other states are going to follow suit with 20. If you can go into a restaurant and have 25%, why can't you be in an outdoor stadium and be 25%?
Well, frankly, it's probably
better.
It's probably better.
Better.
It's ventilation.
Yes.
Restaurants are, it's frankly, I'm almost positive they would say it's better.
Yeah.
They've already said outdoor situations are much better.
Now, they did have to.
That ain't outdoor, though. See, that's not outdoor. Our stadium is not going to be outdoor. And serious question. Do you want to be, if they make it fully open and they consider it outdoor, I would consider it outdoor if they fully open it, if it can. Are you really loving September at noon in Houston?
No.
In the stands?
Well, here's what you have to do is those seats that are directly in the sun, which we saw in that Pittsburgh game early on in the Texans.
Give them sunglasses?
The disaster.
Give those people
you
sunglasses?
You have to not put people there.
It's still going to be a little warm.
It's going to be warm. Nurse, hey, listen, I was on the field and in the shade, it was 105, dude. I was on the field in that game. I had a suit jacket. I was like, I was dying that day. And I can't even imagine the people that were in the sun that day. It was, they got so many. I was friends with John Schneider, who's the ticket guy for the Texans. And he was like, oh my God. This is why the roof has never been open since then. It has to be between 69.3 degrees and 70.1 degrees. Otherwise, we're not opening up the roof, period. They won't do it. And so the roof has never been opened again. They got so many people. They had not only complaints, but it was dangerous. There were people passing out. There were people. It was dangerous how hot it was in that stadium that day. And by the way, they got their ass kicked by Pittsburgh, who was wearing black. They made them wear black. And they put them in the Pittsburgh was in the sun side, and Pittsburgh kicked their ass.
There's so much that came out of that. Well, not so much. Mostly, Philip Buchanan's ole is the most memorable.
Yeah.
I know that Tracy McGrady's daughter like passed out from the heat, and he was panicking about what to do with his daughter, calling people. Is there any way I can get into any kind of suite to get her into air conditioning? And it was a drastic
measure to try to get into a suite, but I could try it sometime.
It was a really bad situation. I don't think football outside is not a great idea in our summer heat.
But we do. But all the high schools do it. Yeah. Colleges do it.
Not at noon.
College does too because they have of television.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. College does do that. Yeah. That's stupid.
25% capacity at Minute Maid would be about just over 10,000.
10,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you could get that done.
Oh, I think that's.
Well, that's another one in the summer.
Yeah.
Out at Minute Maid?
Now that's 10,000, but that's if you're counting every seat. No one is going to want to sit.
But you know what the ass is going to say? 25% capacity. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. All right. What?
And if you want.
No, but they're not going to just squeeze the people.
No, but they're
going
to have to
sit in the sun.
People, you know, when they do those early start games, those 6 o'clock games, and people are on first base side or are just being beaten down, even though the roof is closed and the air is on, beaten down by the sun in July and in August, it's a killer. And now you're going to open the roof in July and August, and you're going to put those people in those seats?
You're not.
It's going to be.
That's just it. You're not. You can't.
Well, how badly you want it? And, oh, by the way, you're paying more for those tickets because guess what? We're going to make up some money.
I don't think you will this year, though.
I don't know.
This ticket price.
Well, that'll be interesting
set.
To see.
People have season tickets.
But here's what if I'm the teams, no season tickets this year. Wow. But you know what? We're going to do it on a basis of.
You can't do that. You've already sold them. They've already paid for them.
We're talking, but I'm looking at a headline on ESPN that apparently retractable roofs aren't considered outdoors, according to I guess Texas.
All right, we're done.
So.
Wow. So they're going to have to.
First of all, that just means colleges can come back. College football.
Yeah.
Which, boy, they need it.
Well, Rangers could go back to their outdoor stadium next year.
Is Rice going to be allowed to keep. So Rice is going to be allowed to have 25% in their football stadium?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're going to be able to sell 4 tickets.
4? It's like 80,000. They're going to be allowed to have 20,000 people at Rice.
Yeah, they're allowed to every game.
Yeah, what do you mean? That's not new.
But this hasn't been going. They haven't had.
They're allowed to.
No, Governor.
They haven't had pandemic seating at Rock.
They've been going quarter full for years and years.
Quarter?
Well,
10, not least, not lately.
A quarter of what?
10%.
Yeah, a quarter.
Now the Rangers can go back to their old stadium.
I'm sure they would not. Well, if you want to make some money.
Well, why not? Well, why wouldn't you?
But to be fair, it's only June. It's not even June yet. You'd think in a month, Abbott won't be like, hey, retractable roofs.
Why are retractable roofs?
I just saw the – I don't know if that came from Texas.
Yeah, you're
the
right.
State of Texas, or it came from
– retractable roof will be allowed. Now
– retractable roof – the Astros, Minute Maid is – now you can argue that even with the roof open, NRG is not an outdoor stadium.
With all the overhang. But I would say – But no, Minute Maid is.
Minute Maid is. Yeah, absolutely Minute Maid is. Absolutely is. Every seat is outside.
You know what isn't? Jerry World.
No. No. Is that even retractable? No.
No one cares.
No, it's not. But the Rangers' new stadium is. It looks just like Minute Maid. Rob Matwick designed it, mm-hmm. just like he designed Minute Maid.
Rob Matwick designed Minute Maid?
Well, yeah. Well, Kyle he Smith. Was part of the... He was
Put Rob, the hill in there!
Well, right, he was told to do that crap. But it's almost, it's like baby Minute Maid is what it looks like. I was like, oh my God, you guys got to steal everything. Dallas, you suck. Wow, if retractable roof stadiums aren't. Well, then
I don't know if that came from the state of Texas or is that just an MLB thing? I don't know, but the headline or the bottom line said retractable roof stadiums aren't considered outdoors. I'm not sure that's a Texas thing or just what they're considered.
That's dumb because that's why you put a retractable roof on it, so it is outdoors. And by the way, Minute Maid opens its roof, it is outdoors as opposed to NRG. And no offense, Texans, but it's not. We'll find out whether or not. Now, University of Houston's got to be happy about it.
Yeah.
There's the one.
It's huge.
Yeah. It's really, really big.
And even, man, every little bit helps. Although,
Texas,
you know,
A&M.
One of the things I'm finding out from restaurant people is you would, you know, maybe on the outside looking in, you think, oh, 25% is nice. You guys get some money back in. Oh, 50%, this is good. And what I've heard from restaurant people is we don't really make a lot of money at 100%. Like, we need alcohol sales are a big one. The margins on food are not great at all.
Yeah.
It's alcohol sales. And if we're not close to 100%, you know, we're just going to keep losing money and we'll be out of business in a few months. Bernie's Burger Bus, you know, the guy Justin Turner, I think it's Justin Turner, he was Shane Battier's chef. I had him on Southbound Food years ago when I was doing a food show. He came to Houston because Shane Battier hired him in Memphis. He was his personal chef in Memphis. He had been a chef at a restaurant. And Shane was, you know, eating clean, and he wanted good food that was healthy and blah, blah, blah. So then when he moved to Houston, he convinced Justin to move here too. And then eventually Justin opened up his own place, Bernie's Burger Bus, which is just a big school bus. It was like a food truck. It was mm-hmm. a big school bus. Then he opened up other locations. Now all of them closed permanently. Yesterday, which sucks. If you love a restaurant, even if you don't want to go sit in it or whatever, just go get your to-go food because it may not be here. By the time August gets here, some of your favorite restaurants will – it's a lock. They will not be here,
No.
I'm telling you. There's just not enough money.
There's a high percentage of restaurants. We've lost a high percentage of restaurants.
Yeah, we're going to lose, and restaurateurs are telling me – it's going to get really, really bad once July hits because there can't be any outdoor seating in Houston. It's just too tough to sustain a business with outdoor seating. And unless those things get back up to near capacity, all they're doing is losing ground at a slower rate. And then once they're done, once the protections of small business are done, boom,
yep.
they're gonna close. So get to your restaurants and join them while you can because we're going to see a lot more. Locally, nationally, it's just they just can't sustain it. And that's more people out of work.
743 ESPN 97.5 7378 0377 6. Deshaun Watson, what does that mean for if he can get this deal done with Deshaun Watson, what does it mean for Bill O'Brien next?
Hopefully nothing.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so The Ringer has an article today. Will the Texans' mistakes matter if they ace the Deshaun Watson negotiations? Okay, I have two questions on that. Okay. One is, what is acing the Deshaun Watson negotiations? You mean actually signing him? Is that what that means?
I have no idea what acing it means.
Acing
it. What does acing it means? Giving him as much money as he could possibly ask for and more?
And more.
Acing it would be getting him at a reasonable deal.
Yeah, acing him would be actually getting him at less than Russell Wilson, who's won a title. And he's the highest paid.
Realistically, that's but that's never been the case with quarterback deals. Guys are like, I it's my turn. Yep. Pay me more than I should get. Yeah.
Yep.
Realistically, in the pantheon of quarterbacks, yes.
He should.
He should be a little less.
No, that
than
would be
Wilson.
Acing it.
Yes.
If Deshaun Watson would take 33 to 36 million.
5-year deal.
Yes. That would be acing it.
Escalating.
You know what
fifth?
Would not be acing it? Deshaun Watson, $42 million a year.
No, that's not ace.
No. But wait a minute. Is that unrealistic?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Not with Bill O'Brien. With other teams, it would be, yes.
Yeah.
To reset a quarterback market that drastically. He's already done it
he did it with left tackle.
To do it with two players
in the
same
offseason.
But wait
a minute. When he's given Laremy Tunsil $4 million more than the next highest paid tackle, why do you think it's unreasonable to think that it'll be $6 million more for Deshaun?
Well, because I'm still working off of the way it's supposed to be.
No. Why would you do that?
I have to.
No, you don't. Why?
I can't just live in a Bill O'Brien reality and act like that's the way it's supposed
to be.
That
is the reality, though.
It's the Bill O'Brien reality.
And I've heard so many people, well, he'll get it. They're going to play the biggest game of chicken between him, Patrick Mahomes, and Dak that you've ever seen. That's the biggest game of chicken you've ever seen.
I mean, Dak is last in that chicken match.
Really?
Dak should be.
Well, Dak thinks he's first.
Congrats. The Cowboys obviously don't. The Cowboys would have got a deal done earlier if they thought, right now, the Cowboys got to be thinking, oh, my God, Bill O'Brien's on the loose.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can sit there and say, Mahomes, definitively, whatever he makes, then we're going a decent chunk below that number, Dak. That's the way you could operate.
Dak ain't taking any less. I mean, he's getting 31.7 or something right now from as a franchise guy, right? So Dak ain't taking – I'm next up. Russell makes 36. I'm making more. That's it. I'm making more. And, oh, by the way, I'll wait. And, oh, by the way, what if the Cowboys, God forbid, the Cowboys are good this year? What happens then?
Best case scenario for the Cowboys might be that they just franchise tag. Honestly, because
he is franchise tagged.
Well, I'm talking about a double franchise where you don't do a long-term deal because, listen, if you don't...
That's a 20% increase
on that. But if you don't believe in your heart that Dak Prescott is your quarterback of the future, you'd rather give him 1-year payday that's really big as opposed to a multi-year guaranteed deal. If you don't truly believe in Dak Prescott, then I don't think you want to be giving him... John, we're going to be talking about, you know, $100 million guaranteed. That's a ton of money. At least, I would say at least 3 of those years are going to be fully guaranteed.
We're talking about, though, close to 40. I think the number is like 45 million for the second year. Yeah, it's stupid.
Well, you mean for the second year?
Second franchise.
It's still better than the number of get because how much
well,
is guaranteed?
Though,
45
suppose they
million.
Win and they win big, get to the NFC Championship
game. Well,
it all
depends. It doesn't How does Dak play? Tell me that. I don't care how you win. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl and sucked whenever he did it. You weren't going to give him a bunch of money. He wasn't any good.
Well, but Dak is younger and you know,
I get it, but but tell me how Dak is playing. I want to know how Dak plays.
Suppose he plays well.
Well, then you have another. Then this is a good year.
By the way, you got a CD Lamb. He's got another weapon.
Then you pay him next year. But there's no excuses now. You got your running back healthy. You got multiple wide receivers. Let Dak show you this year, and it may cost you more, but that's a good insurance policy for getting to see it one more year where you feel like, okay, we're comfortable giving them this money. I would rather do that than not be sure and give them $38 million a year.
Guess what? And, oh, by the way, while you're waiting through all of this, if, in fact, the Chiefs come to terms, if Pat Mahomes – listen, if I'm their, if I'm the agent for either – for any of these guys, I'm like, hold, wait, because if Pat Mahomes sets the market – Deshaun goes, well, I'm here. I'm right here with him. Do you want to win, Bill O'Brien? You keep letting me talk. You
got to
give me
agent. You got Todd France.
You got to give me. You got to give me Pat Mahomes money. And if I'm Pat Mahomes, I'm like, we're waiting for Deshaun because guess what? You automatically get more.
So Pat Deshaun. So David Mulgeta is Deshaun Watson's. Pat Mahomes is. I'm pretty sure it's still. Pretty sure it's still
Lee Steinberg.
I'm guessing Lee didn't charge him anything on the first contract. That's why everyone and all the agents are like, "Wow, Lee is getting no money for this first negotiation." But you know what? Lee's going to come out the big winner on this one.
On the second
deal. So they've all got different agents. David Mulgeta for Deshaun, Todd France for Dak Prescott, and Lee Steinberg. So. There's not going to be any conflict of interest from and every agent's going to be want to be the quarterback agent. Everyone's going to be going after Fields and Trevor Lawrence, for example.
Yeah.
They want to be the guy that gets that monster contract. Like, hey, listen, we all know Mahomes is the best, but I got Deshaun Watson a deal that is only $1 million less than
Yes. I mean, so this is it. Now, secondly. Are all Bill O'Brien's sins forgiven just because he throws a bunch of money at Deshaun Watson? No,
it doesn't. If anything, it shows you that he honestly cannot. He doesn't know how to negotiate. He has no leverage. He doesn't know how to negotiate. No sins are because you just no. That's like saying
many people thought it was a brilliant move to get to give up a second rounder for and trade Brock Osweiler. They thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, well, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
It wasn't a brilliant move. Everyone was celebrating in the streets. It wasn't a brilliant move. You could have cut him, ate that cap figure for 1 year and been done and kept your second rounder. It wasn't brilliant.
No.
It ended up being stupid. They saved that money because they thought they were getting Tony Romo. They wanted to have a chance at him, and they didn't get him. Tony went into broadcasting. But when you look at – the Texans are about to be house poor. They have Laremy Tunsil will be $22 million. I mean, if you in your scenario, if Deshaun gets $42 million, if you are – it wouldn't be this year, but the year after, you would be up in the neighborhood, depending on what the average per year is, you'd be in the neighborhood of $64 million for two players. You know how hard that's going to be to win? It's going to be extraordinarily hard to win with no – and they don't have a bunch of draft capital. They've subtracted draft capital. So they don't have cheaper players to play and outplay their contract. And now you got guys like Zach Cunningham who are core players. Zach Cunningham's a core player. What are you paying him?
Guess what? Dude's getting
Zach
paid.
Cunningham's agent is going to be like, great, Deshaun Watson's going to get a bunch of
money. What's Bernardrick got? Because Zach's getting more.
Yeah, I'll have to see Bernardrick's
deal. You know what? Bernardrick becomes expendable. I mean, you almost have to. I mean, there are so many guys that are just going to have to, we're just going to have to pick up street free agents because we don't have any draft picks.
Well, the Texans are in a unique – there's not a bunch of teams are going to be in that situation. One team. You're going to have a team that's paying over $60 million to two positions total.
Thanks.
And then you're going to have a lack of draft picks, which is – and all these fans want to just give away picks. They don't care. When that credit card bill comes due, it is an ass-kicking. And that's what they're in the midst of right now. Bernardrick McKinney right now – he had a new deal, so he...
Well, you can get rid of him because his dead cap would be next year is 1.5. After this year, this dead cap this year is 8.2.
In 2021, yeah.
2021, 1.5. And you know what? He's going to be expendable. There's nothing you can do about it. And any cap hit is going to be a killer for the Texans after this year. But you're going to have to do it. Who do you want? Do you want him through his contract, which is paying him 7, 6, 7, 8.7 and 9.5, or do you want Zach Cunningham?
No, I think you would keep Bernardrick McKinney until 2022. That $10 million number at age 29 gets to be a little... My guess is you'd still keep him. J.J. Watt, I truly believe this is J.J. Watt's last year.
Yeah.
J.J.'s basically letting you... J.J. doesn't obviously doesn't trust or buy into the Bill O'Brien stuff. His non-answers were answers. He even said, I have no interest in an extension. And he said it for all the right reasons. I don't think JJ wants to be here. I doubt that JJ's a big fan of Bill O'Brien's and the screaming and the yelling and all that carrying on. Screaming at the fans. You know, I doubt Captain America is a big fan of
Bill O'Brien. I don't know. We don't know.
But it's just a guess. I don't know.
He seemed to be stumbling and stuttering.
Well, he clearly doesn't think he's a – what makes him such a great coach? Like I said, we've got to play better.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sticking my head in the sand. Well, I know what's going on.
I know what's going on here. Yeah. But what about the Bill O'Brien coaching? Like I said,
why
I
did he
stay
go
healthy.
Back to how excited everybody was about the team back in 11 and 12?
Yeah.
I mean,
so JJ's number is going to be gone. That'll free up. But really, that's going to free up money for Deshaun more than anything.
Yeah. Guess what though? But if that frees up, what about that position that you know? Well, that's on the field half the time now. But what about that position that actually did contribute mightily defensively? Now it's all on that side of the ball. It's all on that. It's on the left side of the line. It's in the backfield with Deshaun. What about the defense?
Well, that's where you restock with a younger defense.
Really? Because you don't have a first and second rounder.
Well, I mean, I tried to tell y'all not to trade all these picks. Y'all want to trade them.
Who? Wait a minute.
Just keep on.
Who's
y'all,
Dell? Did you make that? Did you say, hey? Hey, let's give Miami. Dell might have said that.
Hey, pizza boy. Remember when John was trying to make him general manager, executive of the year when the pizzas were rolling in?
Yeah.
I do.
No. All I said was the offense was going to be good. Thanks. Good night. It's going to be good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah.
By good, you mean top 10?
I didn't say, no, because then there's a parade and we can't have parades now. Pandemic.
Good means top 5.
Yeah.
No. You see top 5 offense?
Then what do you mean by good? Then what do you mean by good?
It's good, though. Wait. Anything over 11 is going to be better than when DeAndre Hopkins was
there. Top 10? Yeah.
Top 20% of the league.
I can't trust.
Top 20% of the league is in the
top
6.
Well, I don't know. Is Bill O'Brien going to interfere or is Timmy going to be able to run?
Why would he not interfere?
And why do we think Tim Kelly's going to be a great OC?
Because Timmy's great. I heard Bill O'Brien say how good Timmy is.
Did George Godsey go through the years as play caller?
George Godsey?
Did he? Yes or no? You remember? Remember
he
George
went through
Godsey
about
he here?
Three series.
Okay. What makes you think Tim Kelly is going to be that Bill O'Brien, the head coach and general manager, is not going to be involved in the offense?
You mean the guy that pulled his opening day starter at halftime and said,
he's slightly impulsive, yes.
We don't make knee jerk decisions.
We've got a plan. We don't make knee jerk decisions. And then, yes. Yeah. And then bang, out of here.
Which is a trip that. What appears to be not a great defense having to face the Chiefs and the Ravens, and it's left Tim Kelly's like, what, I can't get a couple 3-and-outs?
Yeah, no.
And no one talks about this either. By the way, this gets buried now, but do you remember how Hoyer got pulled early in the year too for Mallett? And then when they put Hoyer back in, Hoyer actually played really well. Mm-hmm. Like, Hoyer had a solid game until obviously the playoffs, but he was knee-jerk on Hoyer too, just out of here. Instead of letting people, this is a knee-jerk impulsive guy. There is no way that Tim Kelly's going to – it's going to take two bad games for the offense. Kelly's done calling plays.
He might be fired.
That is a mortal loss.
Let's be clear. It might not end at a play calling.
How many special teams coaches and receivers coaches does Bill O'Brien have?
Every year.
I heard somebody was talking to Izzo. Like, Izzo claimed that he and O'Brien almost came to blows a couple times when Izzo was special teams coach here because he was kind of a red ass too. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, me and Bill, we're going to fight one time.
It's 8 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. You know what? I'm fighting for my guys, the Chastangs over there. I love the Chastangs. I do. They're wonderful, wonderful people. They really are. And you Coug fans, this is a Coug. They love their Cougs. And you know what? They support the Cougs. And if you're a Coug and you need that new Ford car truck. And listen, you may be in a situation. I'm telling you right now. Now, the car business might be hurting in about 7, 8, 10 months. Because in 7, 8, 10 months, everybody's getting into a new car now. I'm not going to get into a new car in another 10 months. But you know what? Hell with it. Go and get that 84 months of no interest. This is something you'll never see again. This is something you have to take advantage of now. And they're doing it at Chastang Ford. It's no payments for 6 months. This is ridiculous. Now, I'm going to have to pay off that car. Yes, but you're going to have to pay off that car anyway. Why are you doing it with interest payments? Go trade in that car right now because you ain't seeing 84 months of interest-free ever again. And they've got it right now, Chastain Ford. And what they'll do over 7 years, they're going to make sure that your payments are exactly where you have to be. And oh, by the way, you don't have to start for 6 months. It's ridiculous how low you can go right now, and Chastain is leading the way. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, you don't want to go to the dealership, you can do it all online, ChastainFord.com, or get to that dealership, which is sanitized and wonderful, all at, it's on 610, just two exits, east of 59. It's Homestead, not Hempstead, Chastain Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.